In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives us a divine invitation in the opening words of today's gospel lesson. Whosoever is willing to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and keep on following me. The blessed Theophylact the Bulgarian reminds us that this is a voluntary action on our part. For Christ says, I force no one because I call him to good things and not to bad things, that I should even compel him. And what are these good things, my dear brothers and sisters, to which our Lord calls us to receive? St. Paul lists them in his epistle to the Galatians: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, all fruits of the Holy Spirit given to those who choose to answer that threefold calling from God. And these spiritual fruits are given to us now, whereas in the next life, our most sweet Lord Jesus will give us the consummate good thing, to be with him eternally in paradise, where there is no sickness, nor sorrow, nor sighing, but everlasting life. How can anyone resist such an invitation from the Creator of the universe himself, and with his guarantee of such wonderful gifts? Perhaps it's because we have abandoned true faith in Jesus. In his epistle to the Hebrews, St. Paul defines what true faith really is: the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. But our human reasoning cannot process such a definition. How can hope have substance? How can there be proof in what we cannot see? Our minds cannot comprehend the substance of our faith is in fact Christ himself, and that the millions of saints who joyfully answered Jesus' call to renounce themselves, to take up their crosses, and to follow him provide us with proof of these unseen joys awaiting us in God's heavenly kingdom. Oh, my fellow travelers on the sea of life, it is only through our hearts that we can embrace the true faith. We must center our faith and our trust in Christ in our hearts and not in our fallen human reasoning. And that's where you women have the edge on us. And I must say, I envy you. Because what happened when our Lord was put in the tomb? And that tomb was sealed with a rock, and the rock was sealed. And then there was a cohort of guards with arms in front of the tomb. And what did the men with their fallen reasoning do? They stood behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. But the women, they reacted from their hearts. And they knew all this, all these obstacles were there. But their heart said, we must go to the Master. And the Master removed all the obstacles. That's why they saw Christ first. So before we can pick up the true and become true cross bearers of the Lord, what must we do? Renounce our wills, our fallen human reasoning. And then from our hearts, put our total trust in the one who ascended that cross for each one of us, who created us in his image, and who placed within every single human being an innate desire to be in communion with him. Now, the evil one cannot remove that desire, so he strives in cooperation with our fallen reasoning to transfer the desire for communion with God into fulfilling our worldly desires. all of which will perish as soon as we die. St. John Chrysostom's spirit-filled words clearly express the futility inherent in creating one's life, in centering one's life on fulfilling our worldly desires. He says, even if you become king of the entire world, you will not be able, by paying down all worldly goods, including the entire earth itself, to redeem your soul. In other words, beloved ones, our precious soul, one human soul, has more value than all human knowledge, all physical beauty, all fame and material wealth combined. And that is why the Son of God became the Son of Man, to bring individual redemption and salvation through his voluntary death on the cross, his life-giving cross. To every soul that accepts this divine invitation, which he expressed in the beginning of today's gospel, thanks be to God that our Holy Church Fathers chose to place the cross, this tree of life, at the midpoint of our mystical journey to our Lord's awesome passion and glorious resurrection, in order to strengthen us and remind us of its ultimate power in helping us to renounce our self-will so that we can take up our cross and follow our Savior. What does it mean to take up my cross? St. Gregory Palamas explains that it requires us to be crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires, not just sensual pleasure and gluttony, but also the desire of materialism, the desire of power, the desire of wanting to impose my will on others. Furthermore, taking up my cross means my willingness, if such a moment is demanded of me, to suffer horrible tortures and to even die in my flesh for the one who took my flesh and died for me. Such a moment became a reality for three Russian soldiers in 1996 when Muslim fanatics captured them in Chechnya. They were given the option to renounce Christ or face execution. And unfortunately, two of the soldiers renounced the Lord. But a 19-year-old named Evgeny Rodionov chose to be a cross bearer. He was tortured for 100 days, but the power of the cross of Jesus was alive in him. And he endured everything for his Lord. Finally, the Muslim commander told him to take off his cross. He refused. So the commander took a rusty saw and cut off his head. And it took several minutes to occur. But here's the interesting thing. Even after his head was removed, the Muslim commander could not remove the cross from the body of Evgeny. The new martyr truly accepted his master's invitation to be a true cross bearer, and now his soul is in paradise with our Lord. Another characteristic of a true cross bearer is to have heart-centered love not only for Jesus, but also for his neighbor. Metropolitan Eratheos Vlachos reminds us of the two true characteristics of the true lover for the one he loves. He wants to do good for the loved one, and this is very important. He wants to suffer for the loved one. The second, of course, is clearly superior to the first. May I share with you a true story of that second one? There were two intelligent professional men in Greece. One of them was very close to Christ. The other one did not believe. The one close to Christ would pray daily, "Lord, somehow, go into the heart of my brother and bring him to you." And he did this for years. God sent an affliction to the other man, a terminal disease. And so now he's in the hospital in Greece. And his dear friend comes to him and says, "My dear brother, pretty soon you're going to see eternity. Please, let me call a priest to come here. Remember the thief on the cross. If you confess now and ask forgiveness, God will receive you into paradise." No, he refused. But his friend didn't give up. He went back to his home. He fell to his knees and he began to weep. And he thanked God for those tears and he said, "My Lord, if it be pleasing to thee, give my tears to my brother. Do something to wake up his soul before he departs this life and faces perdition forever." And God answered his prayers and even permitted him to see what was going on in the hospital at that very moment. The demons surrounded his bed. And when he saw the demons, he became totally fearful. And each had something in his hand. And an angel of the Lord came to the foot of the bed and with one of these scales. And the demons were placing on one side of the scale all of his sins. But the tears began to flow from this man's eyes for his first time in his life. And he begged the Lord Jesus to forgive him. And he took a towel and soaked that towel with those true tears of repentance. And his guardian angel took the towel and put it on the other side. And it overcame all the sins. When he saw this vision, he ran to the hospital and rejoiced when he saw that soaking wet towel and how his friend had a peaceful expression on his face. Such a person, rather than boast in his accomplishments, his children, his good name, would choose to imitate St. Paul and boast only in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to boast in the cross of our Lord? St. Chrysostom has the answer. That Christ, for my sake, took upon himself the form of a slave and bore his sufferings for me, the slave, the enemy, the unfeeling one. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when is the last time that you or I boasted for Christ? St. Maximus the Confessor tells us we basically have two possible roads on the journey in this temporary life. One is to crucify Christ again by sinning with our bodies, which through holy baptism are now members of the body of Christ, or to take up our cross and be crucified with him. The two thieves on the cross on Golgotha with Christ had up until the very hour been crucifying Christ through their actions for all their lives. And yet, behold the limitless, never-ending, and unconditional love of our Jesus. They were still given the opportunity in their final moments outside of eternity to embrace Jesus Christ and his cross. The thief on the right, indeed, renounce himself and take up his cross and follow Jesus, albeit for only a few moments before his last breath. Nevertheless, he could claim as his own these words of his fellow cross-bearer, St. Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in faith in that of the Son of God. And here's the key point in this phrase of St. Paul. He didn't say who loved us, but who loved me and gave his life for me. The cross bearers know that Christ died on the cross specifically for them, each one of us. Oh, my very beloved brothers and sisters, you living icons of Jesus, may our Lord grant us his grace to incarnate those words of St. Paul within our hearts before we depart this life. And God only knows when that day is going to be. Therefore, let us immediately begin or continue our daily renouncing of our self-will, our daily taking up our cross, and our daily following him. Let us in our thoughts and words and actions seek to become true lovers of Jesus by wanting to do good for him, by wanting to suffer and even die for him. In this way, at the fearful moment when our soul separates from our body, we too may be blessed to hear the very words that our master told the thief who became a cross bearer. Today, you will be with me in paradise.